Fritzberger and bloodandfaith.com. It's Friday, April 12th, 2024. I just walked out of the movie theater. I saw Civil War. I recommend you see it. It's a good movie. It's a serious movie. It's not a fun movie. It's not a play movie. It's not a action-adventure movie. It's a movie about war. I've never been to war, never engaged in any of that kind of stuff. Have friends that did, and it changed their lives, made them different people. I come to war from an academic point of view. I've read a lot about war. I understand it academically, not personally. And I don't care if you call it a civil war or a foreign war. It's not a good thing. It's a very, very ugly thing. My understanding from the director of that movie is that he wanted to create a warning for the United States saying, look, man, it ain't worth it. Don't go to war. This is what it looks like. It's really, 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 really bad. It's really bad. It's not fun. It's not adventurous. It's not romantic. It's not glorified. And you read about other eras and other times when young men marched off to war, whether it was the First World War, the Civil War, or Teddy Roosevelt with the Rough Riders. And the point of the movie was there's nothing glamorous about this stuff. It's bad, it's ugly, and it's a lot of destruction and waste. And in any war, especially in the Civil War, there are good people. There's good men and there's good women on both sides. Now, that may sound churlish. It may sound patronizing. But good men and women will die, a lot of them, and there will be a lot of needless destruction. Or maybe it's not needless. Maybe it is necessary. I've made the analogy before about an abused spouse. Could be male, could be female. I know of cases of both. Do you submit to the abuse, the verbal abuse, the financial abuse, the physical abuse? Do you submit to the beatings so that you can make your marriage survive, so you have can be around for your kids? Or do you say, I can't do this. Number one, I won't be alive. Number two, it sets a bad example for my kids. Number three, they're just going to, the abusive spouse is simply going to turn on the kids and abuse the kids. And sometimes it's harder to stand up and walk away. You can't let that happen. And same in a country. I mean, do you say, you know what, I'll just take the beatings and I'll be abused and I'll be abused and I'll be abused and I'll allow my children and my grandchildren to be taught how to be sodomites and trannies? It's interesting. I was talking to the family the other day, and apparently in Texas you cannot get become sterilized as a woman until you're 25 years old. We know of a situation where a certain person might want to do that. But it's illegal. You can't do it till you're 25 years old. Yet, in any state, you can go down and you can go talk to Planned Parenthood, or you can talk to these Jewish organizations, and they'll help 12 and 13-year-olds transition. Cut their walnuts off, drill a hole, fill them full of chemicals. But you can't get a hysterectomy until you're 25 in Texas. And there's something deeply, deeply wrong with this country. And the decision I've identified who the enemy is. I won't go into that. Well, I probably will. I always do. I have a duty to my God, yes. To my ancestors, yes. To my fellow man, yes. To my children, yes. To my grandchildren, yes. Got a grandkid. He doesn't have the ability to stand up and say, we're not going down this road. He doesn't have that ability. He looks to me to make that happen. And when I started bloodandfaith.com, I think I still have it out there in the about, and I said, you know, I've watched a lot of young men go to war and either not come back or come back with parts missing or come back in body bags, and they go with a faith, and I've talked to vets, they go with a faith that there's an older, wiser generation back here at home guiding this country and making good decisions, and it's a sacrifice they're willing to make to preserve a society that has goodness and righteousness and wholeness in it. And when you step back and you say, the people guiding this country are greedy, selfish liars Don't give two-whits whether their kids, somebody else's kids, come back in body bags. They don't give two-whits whether or not a million people die in some foreign land. And when you realize that, and you sit there as an older person of whatever age, and you go, oh, my God. You know, these young men are literally willing to put it all on the line. Where is my generation? What are they doing besides trying to have a nice career and get through the system without getting politically shot, so to speak? And the answer is they're absent. They're absent. They're absent because they want to protect their career. They want to protect their nice life. They want to protect their money. They got a career track. And whatever it takes to keep that going is their priority. And I said, you know what? I can't do that. I can't do that. There's young men out there literally laying down their lives, believing there's older men, older people, holding the line at home, guiding this nation forward into something worth preserving, righteousness and goodness. And you stand back and you look at where the United States has gone in my very short lifetime. And you ask, you know, what happened? You're really going to teach that sodomy is a good thing to grade school kids and that they too can be a transgender person with a tranny story hour in the library for grade school kids? And you're going to legalize homosexual marriage, and then you're going to push these values globally through the United States Department of State, through the military globally, through our American taxpayers globally. And you're going to outlaw any dissent against such horrors. You're going to outlaw the Ten Commandments in our schools. You're going to outlaw prayer in Jesus' name in society by any public forum that's got any tax dollars associated with it. You're going to give us mandate vaccines where we become poisoned when we take these vaccines, and you're going to lie and lie and lie about it. You're going to steal elections and you're going to act like the people that have a different opinion on the election are somehow the enemy of the republic. At a certain point, I've made the decision. I said, no, I can't do that anymore. I'm going to open up my mouth and speak. I will open up my mouth and speak. Now, you've heard President Biden. He's made a couple speeches where he's literally demonized 50% of America, the MAGA Republicans. No, no, no. They're white folk, they're rural folk, they're Christian folk. You've seen the books that have come out saying that the white rural voter is the enemy of democracy in America. You've seen that. It gets a lot of press from MSNBC and CNN and the Wall Street Journal. White rage in America. Wonder where that comes from. Oh, wonder where it comes from. You got people out there using your tax dollars, my tax dollars, to open up the borders and to literally fly people into this country unlimited and give them a place to stay and food to eat on your tax dollars while you're trying to put white and Christian people in prison, including old ladies, 76 years old. Where does it stop? Where does it stop? It will not stop unless we stand up. It's like the abused spouse. Male or female, doesn't matter. There's cases of both. And you say, you know, no. The answer is no. Just no. And when somebody stands up and says no, that person becomes a problem. Well, if you just submit, Mrs. So-and-so, or if you just submit, my dear husband, to my verbal abuse, financial abuse, and physical abuse, everything would be fine. You would be happier, and we would get along and go along. And people make different choices on that. Some people submit, other people don't. I don't submit. Telling my wife today, I'm in many ways ashamed of the church, the Christian church in the United States, because they've seemed to say, you know what, it's not worth it to argue with the powerful people. It's not worth it to stand up for literally the words of Jesus Christ, literally what he said out of his own mouth, as well as the rest of the Bible, that let's just keep our little sandbox going. It's a little smaller this week than it was last week. We don't have as many toys in it this week as last week, but we still got a sandbox, and we got a couple little toys that we could play in our little sandbox and talk about things that people that hate our Lord will permit us to talk about. Unfortunately, too many Christians seem to think that's an okay way to go. That they can just say, okay, you know, we can't say that. Okay, we won't say that. In fact, they've picked up the mantra of those that have literally have murdered Jesus Christ. And they have more fear of those people than they do for the words of Jesus Christ or the Holy Scriptures. And that's, I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed on behalf of my church for that. Now, I understand there's a point where you got to wake up. I came to that point. I'd never got it for years and years. If that's where you're at, listen up. Go to bloodandfaith.com. Better yet, read your Bible. John 8:44, Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 4 through 16, Matthew 23:15, Matthew 23:33, Genesis 3:15, and on and on and on and on and on. And then go read about what these people have to say about Jesus Christ and about the white race. Easier to submit to the beatings, easier to submit to the abuse, easier to submit and go along, because part of the warning of this movie, the Civil War, is it's not worth fighting over. And I say it is worth fighting over. The director tips his hand in one or two places, in one scene in particular, and that's fine. That's fine. That's legit. Everybody's got a point of view. Everybody's got a side. In the movie, there's people on one side, there's people on another side, and there's people trying to stay out of it, trying to keep their head down, trying to stay in the middle. And that's true for all wars. Hey, man, I'm just trying to skate through life. I'm just trying to make it through this war. Try to see which is to my benefit on Tuesday, and I might change on Thursday. I'm reminded of the Spaniards. I love the Spaniards. Spaniards had a choice. Maybe they may not have known themselves as Spaniards, but they knew themselves as white men that spoke Spanish and were Christians. They knew themselves as that. We're white and we're Christian. We're right and we're Christian. And they were invaded by the Muslim and the African. And they had a choice. These men had a choice. They said, you know what, it might be easier if we just submit. You know, yeah, it's going to be rough for a few generations as our wives and our children go off to be the wives of the invader, but it's not worth fighting over it. Thank God the Spanish men stood up and said, you know what? It's not only worth my life, it's worth my eternal soul. I'm not going to let this pass. We're going to go to war against the invaders and we're going to drive them out. As such, and they never saw the victory. It took them 700 years. They never saw the victory. But for 700 years, these men and their sons, and their grandsons, and their great-grandsons, and their great-great-great-great-great-great-grandsons after them fought and died and drove out the Muslim and the African invader from their white Christian lands. 1492, the last of them left. And these Spanish Christians brought the gospel of Jesus Christ to the New World. This is what it takes. This is what it's going to take. Not men who say it's easier to submit because war is too horrible to contemplate. The only people that say that, I don't know who says that. I would say that right after this movie in June, a movie's coming out about, I forget the title, but it's about these people who don't play by the rules as they fight against the Nazis. I said, well, isn't that interesting? A lot of us have been called Nazis. Now you got a movie glorifying those who were willing to wage war without rules against the Nazis. What an interesting timing. There's no other enemy so great that Hollywood has created other than the Nazis. Jewish Hollywood wants to preserve the legend of the Holocaust and the evil legend of the Nazis as the modern-day incarnation of evil. And scare people, and so we're taught from second grade on up that this is the greatest evil that's ever existed in the history of the planet. We must fight against it. So a movie comes out glorifying irregular warfare against that. Signs are not good. Don't want to spend a lot of time on that one. But it's a sober time. We're in a very sober time. And I realize that, I mean, I'll just speak for myself. For most of my life, you just try to keep your head down and stay out of the line of fire. I ain't proud of that, not bragging about it, just reality. You got to acknowledge it. Keep your head down, stay out of the line of fire, try to make it. Try to make it. Survive another day. At a certain point, I said, yeah, I can't do that anymore. I'm gonna have an opinion. I'm going to speak my opinion, even though I know it will cost. Even though I know it will cost. Because my folk, my kin, my brothers in blood and faith do not run the show. My brothers in blood and faith do not run the show. The Antichrist has taken over our worlds, has taken over our country, has taken over the white lands. The Antichrist has already taken over. Past tense, not coming, done, deal. So I knew when I spoke up and said something, I would pay a price. And I have paid a price. But my kids are proud of me. When you're dead and gone, and your grandkid or your granddaughter has these operations put upon them or gets brainwashed into becoming something that they can never be, do you stand back and pat yourself on the back and say, you know what, I'm glad I kept my head down because I got a nice retirement fund and I could buy little Johnny a, you know, down payment on its college education. Let alone the judgment day. Let alone the judgment day. When the Almighty brings you up there and says, hey, man, there's a great war during your time. What'd you do? Oh, I kept my head down. I got my pension. Kept my job. Made some money. Paid off that lake house. A lot of us don't have anything like that. I was never called a racist. I was never called a racist. I was never accused of racism or being anti-Semite or being a Nazi. Jesus Christ says, really? You're proud of that? You're proud of that? I said, oh, yeah, I'm very proud of that. I was never called a racist or a Nazi or a misogynist or a transphobic or intolerant or divisive. I never supported either side of the war. I was for peace. And Jesus Christ looks down and he said, look, here's the deal, dude. I went to the cross. I died on the cross because I had an opinion, and I spoke my opinion. I spoke the truth of God. And you're proud because you made so little of a difference that Satan's forces never even noticed you? You made so little of a difference in your life that Satan never even knew your name? Jesus Christ said, listen, at 30 years old, I opened my mouth and I spoke up. At 30 years old, I opened up my mouth, I spoke up. I was dead in 3 years. And they don't even know your name? The devil doesn't even know who you are? And you come to this judgment day and you're proud that the devil doesn't even know your name? And the devil never calls you racist or anti-Semitic? You're proud of that? The Almighty wrote, he said, he's very clear. He said, look, if they called me Beelzebul, and they called the Jews called Jesus Christ Beelzebul. He says he does things by the power of the devil. You got to read the Gospels, man. You got to read the Gospels. There's two sides in the Gospels. There's the seed of the woman and there's the seed of the serpent. And there was no peace and there's no getting along. Jesus Christ opened up his mouth and they murdered him. They called him the devil. They called him demon-possessed. They said he cast out demons by the power of the devil. Didn't we rightly say that you're born of a Samaritan and you have a demon? And you want to skate by. You and I want to skate by. We want to skate by and say, oh, you know, the devil noticed me and I was never accused of being evil by the devil's children. You got one life. Make it matter. You got one life. You got a little chance. You got a little time. The war's not coming. The war's here. The Antichrist is not coming. the Antichrist is here. Go see the movie. Gut check on who you are and what your life is worth. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com.